Good morning, this is Frank Setapani with the CBS World News Roundup. An accident on the flight deck of the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier Nimitz in Bremerton, Washington, has taken the life of one sailor and left two others injured. Ship spokesman Dave Youngquist says an explosion blew out a 20-inch steel cap on a flight deck engine.
These engines are what provide tension to the cables that go across the flight deck that stop aircraft as they land.
The explosion is blamed on the failure of a hydraulic system.
It's hydraulic pressure. And they were maintaining it, and apparently the pressure built up and that piston gave way.
One of the injured sailors is hospitalized in good condition. The other was treated and released. The accident had nothing to do with the ship's reactor. The Nimitz is in the final stages of an overhaul at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard. Having reached a tentative settlement with striking parts makers, General Motors hopes to get back to business as usual as soon as possible. Marlon Kibbe reports from Flint, Michigan.
As part of the agreement, 300 workers will be back in the plant today to resume production to prevent other GM plants from shutting down.
Besides being a good faith gesture, our brothers and sisters in these plants are co-workers and the UAW members. Would be losing money, and we were trying to protect our members throughout the UAW as well as the customers for our site.
Union local president Dale LeBeau, the strike forced 10 GM assembly and parts plants to shut down, idling 46,000 workers. A ratification vote is scheduled for tomorrow. Strikers will remain on picket duty till then. Marlon Kibbe for CBS News, Flint, Michigan.
Some loose ends still haven't been tied up in the O.J. Simpson murder case. David Dow reports.
On the weekend before Monday's opening statements, defense lawyers are scrambling for ammunition to attack a key prosecution witness with his own allegedly racist statements. Judge Lance Ito has already ruled that two such statements attributed to Mark Furman, the detective who found the bloody glove behind Simpson's home, cannot be used in trial. But he gave Simpson's attorneys until Monday morning to show cause for using a third incident in which Furman is accused of making hostile remarks about interracial marriages, such as Simpson's. It's a significant crossroads, says CBS News legal consultant Stan Goldman.
Without that evidence, they lose one card. It's not the only thing the defense has to argue, but I think they'd rather not go into this trial without the ability to have that as an argument.
One factor driving defense efforts to raise the race issue, a jury with eight black men members who are spending this weekend sequestered in a hotel awaiting their first taste of testimony. David Dell, CBS News, Los Angeles.
6.2 has rocked much of northern Japan. There were no immediate reports of casualties. A new calamity may be lurking for the survivors of this week's even more powerful quake in the Kobe area. Steve Herman has the latest on that.
Thousands more people are expected to lose their homes when rain falls on earthquake-stricken western Japan over the next day. Officials have asked several hundred households to evacuate. The fear is that landslides will be triggered on already loose ground. Authorities say in and around Kobe, there are nearly 1,000 slopes susceptible to landslides, and damage is expected to be caused by hill sliding at 20 locations where the ground is severely cracked. Weather forecasters say a winter storm is headed for western Japan, and it will dump rain, heavy at times, on communities devastated by the 7.2 magnitude earthquake. Steve Harmon for CBS News, Osaka.
Rescue teams pulled three more elderly people from the ruins in Kobe today as the earthquake death toll passed 4,700. The Clinton administration reportedly wants to try the direct approach to forging a peace settlement in Bosnia. The New York Times says Secretary of State Christopher has told the Muslim-led government in Sarajevo the U.S. favors direct talks with the Bosnian Serbs, even though that's not allowed under terms of a U.N. Security Council resolution. While the Serbs and Muslims swapped war prisoners today, Lieutenant General Michael Rowe, the outgoing U.N. peacekeeping commander, warned that the current ceasefire is losing momentum. There is no ceasefire in Chechnya, and a truce between separatists and Russian troops doesn't seem likely anytime soon. Bill Gasparini is monitoring developments from the city of Nasran in neighboring Ingushetia.
The Chechen fighters that I've talked to in the last day or so since the key building, the presidential palace, fell, have expressed defiance. They say they're going to fight on whatever happens. The Russians will never be able to completely consolidate the Chechen Republic. They may be able to seize Grozny, the capital, but there will be fighting continuing in the southern villages and in the mountains to the south. There's a lot of speculation about whether or not the Russians will actually continue and chase the rebels into the mountains. Because they know that it will be a very long and drawn-out Afghanistan-style war there.
Moscow's Itar TASS news agency reports that Russian troops have stopped using heavy weapons in Grozny and started the process of clearing rubble and restoring gas and electricity. Some Sri Lankans went out of their way to send John Paul back to Rome on a high note, but Buddhist leaders boycotted a meeting with the Pope today to protest his views of their religion. Hindu and Muslim leaders did show up. Colombo was the final stop on a trip that also took the Pope to the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, and Australia. It's 6 minutes past. One congressman is calling for the head of the National Air and Space Museum to be fired. Another hints at congressional hearings and cutting the $13 million the museum gets from Uncle Sam. Jim Stewart has more on the storm caused by plans to show off the Enola Gay.
A simmering feud over a Smithsonian exhibit featuring the Enola Gay, the B-29 that bombed Hiroshima, has erupted into the open with veterans groups appealing to Congress and the White House for the show to be canceled. William Detweiler is commander of the American Legion.
We feel that that script is still biased, and it is not the proper thing to, not the proper way to commemorate the end of the war in the Pacific.
The costliest project in the history of the Smithsonian, the Enola Gay, was to have gone on exhibit as part of the 50th anniversary of the dropping of the atomic bomb. But from the start, veterans groups have called it biased. The Smithsonian still says it hopes to go forward with the exhibit, but will make a final decision about what to do with the old bomber by the end of the month. Jim Stewart, CBS News, Washington.
Dow Corning and Bristol-Myers Squibb, two leading makers of silicone gel breast implants, have been forced to set aside millions of dollars more than expected for damage claims. Dow Corning President Gary Anderson says the company was surprised that more than 11,000 women refused to take part in a $4 billion settlement.
We had anticipated a small amount of women who might opt out. The fact that there were more than we anticipated has now forced us to take this additional charge to help the fund that we will need to resolve these additional cases.
Plaintiff's lawyer Ralph Knoll says some of the women had no choice but to sue for a better deal.
There are a lot of women whose conditions just don't fit into a mass settlement.
Women have until March 1st to accept the settlement. More than a quarter of a million already have signed up. More than five dozen House Democrats have endorsed a watered-down version of the balanced budget amendment that does not require a 3/5 supermajority in order to pass a tax increase. The Republicans need those Democratic votes since any amendment to the Constitution has to clear both houses by a 2/3 vote. The Democrats are ready for a new beginning. Mark Knoller has that.
Looking to put the party's debacle in the last election behind it, the Democratic Party officially elects a new leadership for itself today. And here's from the president on whose watch the party suffered its worst setback in 40 years. Mr. Clinton will try to rally the troops, which is just fine with Senator Christopher Dodd, whom the president selected to become the party's general chairman, and who says it's time Democrats ended their election wake and period of mourning.
I think Democrats across this country and Americans in general are anxious to see the Democratic Party compete effectively in the competition of ideas.
And though it's in the realm of possibility that Mr. Clinton may be challenged for his party's nomination in 1996, the Democrats' new national chairman says his first priority is to ensure that Bill Clinton is reelected. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
In a move to repay debts it took on when it swallowed Paramount Communications, Viacom has agreed to sell its cable television business for more than $2 billion. The new owner would have the biggest minority-owned cable system in the country. Health officials are investigating a bacterial outbreak in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley that's claimed five lives and severely infected three other people. All of the cases are attributed to Group A strep bacteria that can rapidly destroy tissue, killing the victims. 4 days of talks in Beijing have ended with no agreement on new steps by China to crack down on copyright pirates who prey on American-made computer software, movies, and music. Unless there's a deal by early next month, China could be hit with punishing import tariffs. It's 10 minutes after the hour.